Have you ever heard this voice before?
Meant to love you. Didn't you know it, baby? Didn't you know it? Why could you be content with the love I gave? Oh, yeah, yeah.
You will hear it again. Now, here are six things about the singer Joss Stone. She's 16 years old. She's never put out a CD until now. She is from Dover, England, and unlike, it must be said, the overwhelming majority of soul singers, past and present, Joss Stone is white. The last and perhaps luckiest thing you need to know is that Joss Stone has a legendary mentor and co-producer on her debut CD titled The Soul Sessions. She is singer Betty Wright, who began her career as a gospel and soul singer at an even younger age here in the United States, and helped assemble a cast of old-school friends and musicians from her native Miami to make this recording.
It'll hurt her more to take her pride and ruin her life. It's a shame, it's a shame.
Joss Stone and Betty Wright both join us from the studios of member station WLRN in Miami, and thank you both for being with us.
No problem. Thank you.
Miss Stone, let's start with you first, if we could.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to answer this question a lot. How does a 16-year-old kid... No, let me put it this way. Where does a 16-year-old kid from Dover, England get off making an album of soul music?
I don't know. It just kind of came to me. Like, I love soul music and I want to sing, so I don't really want to sing anything else.
Now, you won a talent contest on TV. It was Star for a Night in England at the age of 14?
Yeah, I think I was 13.
What did you sing?
A Donna Summer track. It was called On the Radio.
And Betty Wright, how did you two get together?
Actually, one of my good friends, Desmond Child, called me to do some writing with Joss. And the way he described her, he says, there's this 15-year-old kid from England, and she wants to do soul music. And he says, and Betty, she's a little white girl, and they say that she is really a prodigy. I laughed. This is going to be a favor. And when I met Joss, I fell in love with her.
You're a dirty, dirty man.
We just heard the Choking Kind, Harlan Howard song. Joss Stone, let's ask you about another song, if we could. Dirty Man.
Okay.
All right. A woman fed up with a low-down cheating man.
Exactly. It's not sexual.
You're two of a kind. But you forgot one thing, baby. When you were doing me wrong. Oh, that I'm a good housekeeper. I'm gonna take my broom and sweep all of the dirt, yes sir, out in the street.
I'm just hoping at the age of 16 you don't know too much about these lyrics.
Well, if you listen to the lyrics in one way, then maybe you'd think that, but you have to listen to it in another way. I mean, I may be 16, but I don't really live like a real sheltered life. I mean, I've met some people like that.
Well, what is there about teenagers singing songs that touch on the pains of adults?
Doesn't have to be your own experience, but you can relate. If she hears a song, and I sit down sometimes and I say, Joss, and let me tell you what this is about. And she'll say, well, you know, I could think of it in this way. I mean, it could be, if somebody could cry over the death of a grandmother, just like they cry over the loss of a man. So you just have to direct emotions in whatever way you can use them. No, she hasn't done all that living in those songs. Neither have most of the people singing.
I know what you mean, like adult problems, but they're everyone's problems, you know what I mean? It's like, I can understand if I was like 10, but when you get to 16, there's definitely things that I can relate to. Because that song, I think of like a certain person, and I get real angry when I sing it, so hopefully it comes out, you know, so I can tell the story.
Ooh, you're a dirty man. Oh, you done me dirty for so many years. Yes, you did.
I was struck by something you said, Miss Wright, in the publicity material we've got, where you said, I've been Joss's best friend and her worst enemy.
It's my drumsticks.
Yeah.
Because I'm always threatening her with them. Josh is like, you know, my kids. You know, they're your buddies when they're doing what you want them to do. But then, you know, they're like little tyrants when they're having their own way.
It's like she's my second mom now.
Yeah, I'm a mama dipped in chocolate.
Yeah, she kind of tells me off when I need it. And
actually, I loan one stick to her mom, and we take turns.
Tag team.
Yeah.
Joss, what was the connection with you and soul music? When did you start hearing it? When did you decide you wanted to sing it?
Well, my parents would play loads of stuff around the house, not just soul, like rock and stuff like The Clash and The Jam and... My first CD that I got was an Aretha Franklin Greatest Hits. Mm-hmm. So I kind of found it myself when I was 10, and I kind of appreciated that at that age. I don't know, it just kind of connected with me.
Betty Wright, I'm struck by the fact that you became a well-known soul performer at an even earlier age.
Mine was more out of need. In my case, my mother slipped a disc in her back, and all of my family were already singers, but I didn't want to be a singer. I wanted to be a physical education teacher. And what happened when she had to go in the hospital for a long period of time, we had no money. So I started, you know, really, really getting serious about singing because I figured I could go and maybe do some talent shows and mm-hmm. win some prize money. And then they started having these matinees in the local clubs at the time. I started getting on those shows and earning money. So I took care of my family. Yep.
Yeah, you've assembled some veteran Miami musicians in this record. Little Beaver, Timmy Thomas, Lattimore. What do you call the Miami sound? What are we hearing in it?
I think the Miami sound was the fact that we had all of these mixed cultures, so the music would be bluesy, but it had a little beat to it because it had a little salsa, it had a little reggae, had a little calypso, you know, all of the island beats mixed in with it. Mm-hmm. So it was like salad music.
Mm. Now, we'll hear this on Clean Up Woman.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, I mean, when you hear Clean Up Woman, you're hearing a little do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, which is like a bit of a calypso flavor in the guitars and horns. I think a lot of the music was just what was in the air.
A clean-up woman is a woman who
Betty Wright?
Yes?
Recognizing that you were in the business at this age, too, how good or bad is it for a teenage girl to be singing for their soup?
Well, I think in Joss's case, there's a lot more fun involved, and I'm really glad for that. Mine eventually became that. I began to really love what I was doing. I think it's very stressful in my case because I had not just... you know, singing for soup, but it was like I have a big family. So it was like no matter how much money you bring home, sometimes it's not enough. But I think when I look back and see what a lot of girls in my age group were doing for money, I think I got the best end of the deal, you know. I think in Joss's case, her mom has a very good take on what's really happening. And, you know, this is the age where children think they know everything. Isn't that right, Joss?
I know.
So you know you do, right? But and I think she's not just singing for her supper. She's singing because she loves to sing. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I'm glad she's going to get paid for what she would be doing for free.
Yeah.
Let's ask you about another song. A song that's often identified as an Aretha Franklin song. A lot of people would be a little timorous to match their voice against Aretha Franklin.
I'm so scared of doing this song.
Well, all right, let's listen to a little of All the King's Horses.
Okay.
All the king's horses and all the king's men, they couldn't put our two hearts together again. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put our two hearts together again. We sat on a wall of happiness, we sat on a wall of love. We sat on a wall of security. Ooh, so high above.
So high.
Yes, we did.
What did you do, Joss, to try and give this song your own distinction?
I actually, it was down to Betty. She had a real good idea of like how it would go musically, because I listened to the song and it's like, oh man, I love her voice, and the way she does it is like, it's perfect anyway.
Betty Wright, what was your thought for this song, and what makes it powerful for you now?
Anytime you touch an Aretha song, it's like touching fire. And I mean, if you think you're not going to get burnt, you're going to get burnt. And we flavored it up. You notice it kind of has that little Latin-y underground. Even though we kept, you know, the rhythm and blues tinge to it, it still has a whole new vibe. And I think the fusion, you know, makes Joss a new artist on this song. It's like so perfect.
You guys are working on a new CD, I'm told.
Yes.
You're writing material, right?
Yes.
And can we ask, what are you writing about, or what do you seem to be writing about so far?
There's some like about love, and there's some about people.
Dancing. Yeah,
yeah, some about people that like really annoy me. And you know, it's just a real, if you listen to my album that's out next year, you'll get a real insight to who I am, because I've written some of the lyrics. So.
And I love jet lag.
Can we get a little flavor of jet lag?
Yes. Okay. I got jet lag and I never even left the ground. See, it's like that every time you come around. Oh, I'm so hungover and I never even touched the driver. I can't get enough. This must be love.
Don't you love how she has no accent when she sings? That is so funny to me. I haven't gotten over that yet.
Well, it's been a delight talking to both of you. Thanks very much.
And you.
Thank you.
Joss Stone and Betty Wright speaking with us from Miami. The title of Joss Stone's debut recording is The Soul Sessions. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.